Hello and welcome to The God Who Builds, a journey of discovery through the book of Nehemiah, highlighting the rebuilding work of the Holy Spirit in our lives here at Empower Church.
Hey there, church. Thank you so much for carving out some time for us to be able to be together like this today. We know that this is a crazy time, and honestly, our hearts are hurting for our planet and for our nation, and most importantly, for you, our beloved family of faith, and the fact that we can't be together physically today. I can relate somewhat even more with the words of the Apostle Paul, who said this to the Thessalonian church, first letter, second chapter. He said, "Beloved friends, we may have been torn away from you physically for a season, but never in our hearts. We miss you badly." This is the Passion Translation. "And personally, I wanted to come to you trying again and again, but our adversary, Satan, blocked our way." In the NIV, "For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy." I certainly relate with those words greatly this week. I know that we can't be physically together the way that we would so long to do, but I want you to know that we are pastoring you no less in our concern and in our prayers and in our intercession and in the work that we're doing behind the scenes to be able to see how we can navigate this challenging time together. The reassuring news in this time is, despite the fact that we're in the midst of a crisis and church looks and feels significantly different due to the corona pandemic, it is still no less the church. I love this definition according to author Mark Perry in his book Kingdom Churches, who says this: "The church is the community of the kingdom, a local supernatural set of relationships or sovereign joinings that God desires to build into a loving spiritual family." So by that definition, even now, remote as we are, isolated as we are, unable to meet together as we are still nonetheless Empower Church, a sovereignly joined together family of faith. I got to tell you, I'm so grateful for the way that the Lord has prepared us for this that we are in the midst of right now. When I consider what took place back in January, where we were sharing a series entitled All Things New and unpacking what we felt like the Lord was saying to us about the new thing that he was about to do individually, in our households, environmentally, in our church collectively, and even in Australia nationally. And how we talked about each of those households, those environments, those in the Greek oikos, those various things that the Lord was wanting to fill with himself in a whole new way. And we talked about how each of those entities, personally, household, church, nation, are interconnected and they have interplay. And certainly we are experiencing that right now. And I want to urge you, if you're looking for some encouragement on how is it that I handle the environment of my house right now where the kids are home and things are looking different, how is it that I pray for the nation of Australia right now in the midst of this season, do go back and check out those full-length podcast sermons that we have there, which I believe will be some spiritual fuel that will refresh us during this time. The good news is this: God has a good thing in mind for each of our lives. This is the same God who says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." That is our God. Our God will bring us through this time as we remain faithful to him and committed to one another. Social distancing doesn't need to mean relational distancing. On the contrary, I believe that now, even more than before, is a time where we need to be connecting together, sharing relationship, and being built up around the Word of God. So I'd urge you, let's be all the more proactive and to take initiative in looking after one another relationally. I know, of course, we've got to respect the social distancing measures that are being asked of us, but we can still pick up the phone. We can still shoot one another text messages. We can still pray for one another. We can perhaps even for now meet down at the park together as long as we're keeping those social distance measures in place, organizing some groceries for somebody or a home delivery, anything that we can to make sure that we are all resourced and cared for physically, emotionally, and spiritually at present is vitally important, because that's what family does, and that's what we are. And I want to thank those of you that are financial tithers and partners with Empower Church's vision. I know that church looks very different at present, but please know that we as your pastors are absolutely in agreement with you for all of Malachi 3's promises as we continue to resource and partner with God's house during this challenging season. I'm so grateful for those of you that have adjusted your giving habits this week and have started to direct debit instead. And we've got details for how you can do that available now on the screen. But I'd urge you to continue to keep giving in this season. Pastor David used to talk to us so much about operating out of an opposite spirit. And the voice of this season right now is to shrink back in fear, in self-protectionism, and in hoarding. And so the opposite spirit for us as a church is that we would continue to stretch out in faith, stretch out in prayer, and yes, even stretch out in generosity. Because the power of that not only guarantees for us Malachi 3's promise that the heavens will open over our life, but it's also our way of speaking to our own heart, leading our own heart, and keeping right kingdom priorities aligned in our lives, where we continue to keep the main thing the main thing. The house of God must be open. The message of the gospel must continue to be broadcast. The good news of Jesus Christ needs to be louder in this hour than it has ever been before. And I want to thank you that your financial generosity continues to make that possible here at Empower Church. A frightened world needs a fearless church, an empowered church, and your giving enables us to be continuing to be precisely that. I'd also encourage you, before we come around the Word of God in just a few moments' time, Pastor Amber has an incredible message she's about to share with us. But the other thing I want to urge us to do is to be active on our social media right now. We've got daily posts that are going out where we're trying to encourage our family of faith, but also put messages out there that you can simply share or like or inbox to somebody else. I believe that now is the time for us to be going public in our faith. There is such a need out there in our community, and the things that we're putting out there, that we're resourcing the church with, as simple as a hit button to share that, that is good news going out to our networks, to our relationships, to our world that is in desperate need for the good news of Jesus Christ and some encouragement right now. So let's continue to do that, and I believe that that's going to be powerful in broadcasting Jesus on loudspeaker to our world that is in great need. Permit me to pray for us now just for a moment before Pastor Amber brings us around the Word of God. Father, I thank you for Empower Church. We still dare to believe that our greatest days lie ahead of us and not behind us. We trust in you in the midst of this hour. Father, I thank you that as we continue to operate as a family of faith, covenanted together with those sovereign joinings, Lord, that there is blessing that accompanies our unity in this time. We will not be shaken. We will not shrink back. We will press forward all the more in faith and in prayer and in giving and in love and in outreach. And I thank you that as we do so, my Father, we are going to partner with heaven to be able to bring something of your supernatural grace to our world in this time. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Here's Pastor Amber with the word today.
Good morning, church. I just wanted to say, I know that we're doing things a bit differently today, but I just wanted straight off the bat to say how much we love you. We miss you like crazy. And I know that as we're going online, I'm looking down a camera. I miss all your faces so much, but I'm just going to pretend like I can see all of you today. And I just need you to be warned up front that once all of this clears and all of this, we get the go ahead of we're able to gather together again, even though I'm not much of a hugger, you need to be prepared. I'm going to squeeze your necks. That's just the way that it is. Okay. So just be warned. That's what's happening. I've got a few thoughts that I wanted to share today, some things that were sort of rolling around in my heart. And 2020, I don't know what your experience has been. I'm sure we're all on the same page. It has been a really, really rough year so far. I don't know what your experience is like, but because we're kind of all hanging out at home, I'm probably on social media a little bit more than what I'm used to, probably more than what I should be. But the good thing is that people are posting some really funny things. And so I came across this thing the other day that I just wanted to share this morning that kind of sums up my feelings on 2020 so far.
2, 3, 4.
I love it so much. It cracked me up. I laughed and laughed and laughed. If there is an upside to this coronavirus, it is that all the funny people in the world have been activated to a whole new level, and which is really good for a girl like me because I like to laugh. And so it's good to have a bit of levity that comes in the midst of all of the seriousness that's going on. And, you know, we're going to come around the Word of God together today. There is such power in the Word of God. And I really believe that God has something that He wants to say to us today. His Word is such a blessing in every season of life that we go to, that we go through. And I really pray that what we're going to share around today would be something that would strengthen us in what is a very, very bizarre season. And, you know, we're dealing with new regulations. We're dealing with food restrictions. You know, I went to the grocery store the other day just to pick up a few things. And I feel like I have to carry around a sign that says, I'm not actually hoarding. I just have 4 teenage sons at home. And, you know, it's just one of those things where we're grappling with the ideas of an uncertain economy. We don't know what's going on. And can I just say this, that we are absolutely in a crisis. We are in a crisis, but God has been seeing His people through crisis since the beginning of time. And, you know, His nature doesn't change. He is still the everlasting Father. He is still the Prince of Peace. He's still our Jesus that can speak to the storm, and He's going to see us through. And for those of us that are parents in our great church family, those of us that have kids, you know, our kids are feeling this as well. And if I could just say this, the best thing that you could do as a parent, the very best thing that you can do right now for your children is just to reassure them. Reassure them that it's going to be okay. You know, they're grappling with changes. They may not have the same level of questioning and anxiety that we might be facing as adults. They're not thinking about mortgages and all that sort of stuff. But they are, you know, if they're still at school because you're one of the essential workers, they're experiencing a very changed learning environment. For those that are learning at home, they have us as teachers now, which is truly terrifying. And, you know, it's just one of those things. The whole world has sort of been shaken. And so the best thing that we can do right now is just to speak to them. You know, they're asking these questions. What's going to happen? How long is this going to last? Are we going to be okay? And we can bring that reassurance to them and say, it's absolutely going to be okay. You know, God is faithful. He is going to see us through. And maybe you're here today and you're needing the reassurance as well. So can I just be a spiritual mom this morning and say to our wider church family, God is still in control. He is going to see us through. He is faithful. And He's going to make sure that He is right by our side through all of this. We don't need to fear. Amen. So as a church, we have been going through our Nehemiah series, and recently, in the past few weeks, we've been looking at the different gates, the gospel gates, I like to call them, where they sort of speak to us about the different things in our lives, how we outwork the gospel of Jesus in our day-to-day life. And you would notice that we stopped at gate number 7. So there's still 3 other gates that we haven't gotten to yet. We're not actually going to do that today. What I'd like to do is to change it up a little bit and leapfrog ahead and tackle some other stuff this morning. But what I want us to do as a church is over the next 10 working days, so Monday to Friday at 10 a.m., 10, we're going to tackle each of the 10 gates one at a time. We're going to just dive in to see what those different gates speak to in the current context that we have, the situation, the circumstances that we find ourselves in, just to bring some more practical help how we unpack those things currently for right now. So we're going to make this more of a devotional style. You can join me online. We're going to be making sure that those are up 10 o'clock every single weekday, and that'll be something that we can use as a church family just to strengthen us and build up our faith and make sure that we are seeing Jesus maximized in this level that we're currently in this situation that we're in. So if you've got your Bibles, and you're all at home, so you can go find your Bible. You can go make a cup of tea if you like. That's all right. We're going to jump into Nehemiah chapter 4. And just to bring us all up to speed, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king. He had this holy burden that was put on his heart that he wanted to see the gates of the gates and the walls of Jerusalem restored. They had been broken down. They were in ruins. The temple had been built up and restored, but the gates were still all broken. The walls were still unfortified. It was just rubble everywhere that they looked. And so Nehemiah gets this burden in his heart that he wants to go and see that fixed. And so miraculously, he's able to go to his boss, the king, and the king said to him that he had permission to go and to see this task done. And miraculously, he even was given permission to be able to have that happen. And so Nehemiah goes to Jerusalem, and it's an incredible thing. I just want to refresh our memory as he starts this project. Nehemiah chapter 2, 17, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it to us just to bring us all back up. It says this, verse 17, "So I said to them, the people of Jerusalem, you see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned. Come, let's rebuild Jerusalem's walls so that we no longer will be a disgrace. I told them how the gracious hand of my God had been on me and what the king had said to me. They said, let's start rebuilding. And their hands were strengthened to do this good work." And so we see for Nehemiah that things are going really well, and then all of a sudden the enemy comes on the scene. And in Nehemiah's case, it wasn't just one enemy, there were 3 that came on the scene. He had enemies. And we've looked at the concept that whenever we go to rise up and build, that the enemy will rise up and oppose. And so that's what we see going on here. Chapter 4, verse 1, this is where we're going to start the portion of scripture that we're looking at today. It says, "When Sanballat, who was the enemy that was coming against Nehemiah, when he heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became furious. He mocked the Jews before his colleagues and the powerful men of Samaria and said, 'What are these pathetic Jews doing? Can they restore it by themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they ever finish it? Can they bring these burnt stones back to life from the mounds of rubble?' Then Tobiah the Ammonite, who was beside him, said, 'Indeed, even if a fox climbed up on what they are building, he could break down their stone wall.'" And Tobiah, he's given a bit of smack talk here, but he's not very good at the disc game. You know, like, if a fox jumps on the wall, it's going to all fall down. It's not very good. But basically what we're trying to do is they're trying to intimidate. They're pulling down, they're ridiculing, they're mocking what the people of God are seeing built. And so Nehemiah clicks in here. In verse 4, this is Nehemiah speaking. And remember, this is like a journal that we're privy to as he's writing this out. He says this, "Listen, our God, for we are despised. We make their insults return on their own heads and let them be taken as plunder to the land of captivity. Do not cover their guilt or let their sin be erased from their sight, for they have angered the builders." So we rebuilt the wall until the entire wall was joined up together, up to half its height, for the people had the will to keep working. Verse 7, "When Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs, Ammonites, and Ashdodites heard that the repair to the walls of Jerusalem was progressing and that the gaps were being closed, they became furious. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and throw it into confusion. So we prayed to our God and stationed a guard because of them day and night." In verse 10, In Judah, it was said, "The strength of the laborer fails. Since there is so much rubble, we will never be able to rebuild the wall." So I just want to unpack a few thoughts for us this morning. And the first thing that I want us to do is to relook at those statements that Sanballat makes. He makes five statements here that I want us to have a look at. The first, he says, "What are these pathetic Jews doing? Can they restore it by themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they ever finish it? Can they bring these burnt stones back to life from the mounds of rubble?" And you know, this is exactly what the enemy does with us. He highlights our frailty. This is the question that he's asking. What are these pathetic Jews doing? Can they restore it by themselves? And for us right now, we're in this season where we're sort of in a mild state of lockdown. We're not fully locked down, but life has absolutely changed. And you know, the pressure is on, the thoughts are swirling. And many of us, we've already come out of a season where it's been tough, it's been hard. And then we find ourselves in the midst of something like this. And we see the rubble around us, the rubble of a health crisis and the rubble of an economy that looks like some scary things might be taking place. And it's so easy for us in this season to start to see ourselves as feeble. And these thoughts start to come, you know what? You're not strong enough to bounce back. You can't do this. You're an awful parent. Your kids are miserable. Look at them. I mean, how on earth are you going to provide for them? You are absolutely going to fail. And then one of the questions that will come, and we see Sanballat, he asks this, he says, can they restore it by themselves? And it's so easy for us to start to agree with that statement. And we start to bring our agreement to it. And we start to think that it's coming from us. And we start to say, oh God, how can I restore this myself? How can I fix this situation? How can I make sure that I'm going to be able to pull myself through this? How can I hold everything together? And before we know it, we're acting like Adam and Eve in the garden, where we're trying to just cope. We're trying to pull the fig leaves around us and try to pretend like everything's okay. But deep inside, we know something has completely changed and we don't know how we're going to get back to where we need to be. And the thing is that God is not asking us to do this ourselves. He's not. He says this in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness," this is Paul speaking, "so that Christ's power may rest on me." You know, it's okay if we don't have it all figured out. It's okay. It's okay because God's grace is here. His strength is here. His power is here. He knows what he's doing. And in this moment where we're feeling a bit feeble, we might be feeling a bit weak, his power can be perfected in our weaknesses. And we just need to know that we are not alone. He is with us. There's a reason why he called himself Emmanuel. He is with us even now. Amen. The second thing that I want us to sort of unpack together today is this, what the enemy will do. Number two, he will mock the speed of our progress. Sanballat asked the question, will they ever finish it? You know, the building was underway. They had already built the wall up halfway, but it didn't actually look like much yet. But it was enough to get the enemy scared. The progress, though, wasn't super fast. It was just sort of ticking away and just doing the next thing. And that's what happens in our lives. And for the Jews during this time, they were getting tired. They were seeing the rubble, and the mocking lie starts to come. Will they ever finish it? And we can see in verse 10 there in Nehemiah chapter 4 that they're starting to sort of become weary in what they're doing. They're listening to all of the noise and the clamor that's going on around them, the enemy that doesn't want this progress to take place, this mocking lie that comes. And for us, a mocking lie will come. Our enemy will try to interject that poison to us that will make our soul weary. He will inject something that will cause a loss of tenacity, that will attack our faith to where we feel like we don't even have the strength to go on. And when we are listening to the news headlines and we're hearing that this thing might even last for, you know, the next 6 months, I mean, that's a long time. And for us, as the Empower Church family, we can start to say, well, you know, the Empower Church, the building of Empower Church, it was underway, but now the rubble We see around us the rubble of the council hall being locked and we can't get in, and the rubble of our inability to be able to get together physically. The question can come, will we ever finish it? But we need to just lift up our eyes and lay hold of the full story, the whole story, that our Nehemiah, our Holy Spirit, has come. He is with us, and he whispers a greater truth to our hearts. Galatians 6:9, do not grow weary while doing good, for in due season you shall reap the harvest if you do not lose heart. And in this moment, in this season, when we're in our homes more than what we normally are, we need to see that as an opportunity. What can we be sowing in the secret place? We're in our homes, and it's almost like if you were to plant a garden, we're kind of like in the dirt right now, you know, and we have an opportunity to be able to sow something. What are we planting? The harvest is coming, but what are we planting? What do we see for our families? What do we see for our finances? What do we see for our friendships and for our church and for our own individual walks with God? That this is a time in space where we can invest, we can think, what do I see and how do I want to form this? When things slow down a little bit, like we're all kind of pushing poles a bit, the pace of life isn't as frantic, where many of us are working from home, we've got this brilliant opportunity to sow in these great areas of our lives. The third thing that the enemy will do is that he will ridicule our building materials. Sanballat asked, can they bring these burnt stones back to life from the mounds of rubble? You know, what's really interesting is that when Nehemiah came, he only brought with him timber. That's what we read about. He only brought timber. But all of a sudden, they're building these walls up, and they're stone walls. And so you have to ask yourself, where did these materials come from? And this is what's so fascinating, what's so interesting. These materials came because they were reclaiming and retooling and restoring and repurposing the stones out of the current mess that they were in. You know, they were taking what was there, what was broken, and they were seeing it fused back together so they could build something for the glory of God. And I want us to know, Empower Church, I want all of us to get this in our hearts and our minds, that God is so able to completely redeem and restore what's been taken. Things feel like they're shifting, but that's not too hard for God to be able to bring things back. But when he brings it back, he brings it back better than what it ever was. It's a way for him to be able to be glorified in our lives right now. He's able to take the rubble of our broken past and even the rubble of our very scary present, and he's able to piece it together and weave it together into something that's going to last. He's able to remove the humiliation and the pain and the heartache. Jesus said this of himself, that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him to heal the brokenhearted. You see, he is the God who builds. He never stops building us, ever. He's not taking a hiatus. He's not hibernating right now. He is with us in this, and he is so committed to seeing our lives built up in him even now. And the fourth thing that I want us to unpack here is this, that the enemy will come and he will attack our worship of God. Sanballat asked, will they offer sacrifices? And this is a huge one because, you know, we're here and we're in our homes, many of us working from home, and we've got all of this access to technology. We can jump on Facebook and we can jump on YouTube and Spotify and all of these different things. And you know, I don't know what it's like for you, but working from home, you might be taking a million little mini breaks, even though we're meant to be being really productive. It's hard to be a little bit productive at home. But, you know, in those times, we've got an opportunity. But I want you to know that the enemy, and I want you to catch his whisper today, that there's a mocking that comes, the mocking of your enemy. What? Are you seriously going to worship now with all of this stuff going on? Are you really going to worship? No. Let's turn on the news. Let's see what's going on there. There's a question that comes, will they offer sacrifices? And he's betting that you won't. He's betting that you won't. And here's why. If we look at verse 7, also our enemy said, before they know it or see us, we will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to the work. Verse 12, then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack us. you know, in this season, an invitation to become discouraged is going to get louder and louder. It just is. That's how it works. And, you know, there's a discouragement that will come. And the thing about discouragement is that discouragement is contagious. It's very contagious. And it can even come from very well-meaning people, like we see here in this passage. You know, and the thing about discouragement is this, that when ridicule and attack come, they hit us from the outside. But when discouragement comes, it hits us from the inside. That's why discouragement is something that we have got to be vigilant about. We have got to fortify ourselves against, because it is such a destructive enemy. And I want us to be clear, Empower Church, that Satan's specialty is psychological warfare. It is psychological warfare. If he can turn us on God and get us thinking thoughts like, it's not fair, if he can turn us on others where we start thinking it's all their fault, the government's not doing enough, or that wedding should have been shut down, or the school should have been closed a long time ago. If he can get us to start blaming other things, if he can get us to turn on ourselves, I'm such a failure, I don't have what it takes to get through this season. The thing is all of those mean that we're not actually turning on him. We're not turning on our enemy. And we keep fighting within ourselves, and we set ourselves up to lose our own inner battles. And when we do that, we're not going to have the strength to stand up and fight our true enemy, our true enemy. Now, look, it's really hard not to become discouraged right now. It really is. And, you know, in Nehemiah's day, he was facing, you know, too little strength of the people. There was too much rubble. There were too many enemies. And it kind of feels like that for us, too. Verse 12 reads that 10 times over, the people were told bad news, scary news, time and time again. And when that happens in our lives, it can start to sort of be like just the ocean waves crushing over us. And about the time that we stand up and get to our feet, another one comes 10 times over. I don't know what you've been feeling lately, but I've been having some of those discouraging things just whipping around me. And sometimes it can feel a little bit more than what we can bear. Maybe that discouragement is coming after you too. And we know when we're facing discouragement because we start to lose confidence. We start to lose enthusiasm. We become so disheartened that it's almost like I can't even try to get up anymore. And now we're facing some really big things. I mean, we've got people that could potentially be, you know, being laid off from their jobs. We've got rent and mortgage issues that we've got to work out the impact of those things. Life is changing right now, and it's a big deal. But we need to be a people of faith. We need to understand that we win, we restore our confidence by meeting this discouragement head on with a much more powerful weapon. And that weapon is worship. It's worship. Verse 13, so I stationed people behind the lowest sections of the wall at the vulnerable areas. I stationed them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. And after I made an inspection, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the great and awe-inspiring Lord, and fight for your countrymen, your sons and your daughters, your wives and homes. You know, the enemy is scoffing at us right now, and he's saying, Empower Church, will they worship? Will they sacrifice? Will they stir their hearts towards the Lord? Will they reach out in generosity now when things feel like they're on the brink of collapse? Will they seek to serve their community in the midst of everything that's going on? These pathetic Empower Church members, will they sacrifice? And we need to stand up, and we need to clap back with a resounding, resolute yes. Yes, we will worship. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord no matter what. And we remember that the great and awe-inspiring Lord, that's what Nehemiah is redirecting the people to. Don't be afraid of your enemies. Remember your God. Remember your God. And in the midst of that, when we get that right, we're able to fight for one another in prayer, our countrymen, our sons, our daughters, our brothers and sisters, our households. And even when the discouragement comes 10 times, time after time after time, we need to dig in harder. You know, and be the kind of people that if we can't see how it's going to turn out, we need to cling all the more tighter to Jesus, to the one who can. If we're feeling shaky, we need to see Jesus, our Jesus, who's able to still speak to storms and walked on water. And this is our Jesus that modeled the biggest comeback the world has ever seen. He can handle this. God's confidence is what we need. And you know, the truth is that our confidence is never going to be restored by looking at our own set of circumstances. Circumstances cannot be trusted, but God can always be trusted. One of my heroes is Corrie Ten Boom, and she pictured trusting God like this. She said, "When a train goes through the tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away your ticket and jump off. You sit still and you trust the engineer." We're being called into a season like never before in Power Church for us to have the opportunity to trust our engineer. Remember the Lord and worship him, for he is great and awesome. This is where our confidence gets rebuilt. We need to be the kind of people that are flooding our houses, our homes with worship songs. And the reason that we do that is not just so there's nice noise. It's so that the atmosphere of faith begins to speak to us. It's so that when we're hearing the words of life, that it's getting into our heads. And so when discouragement comes, we've got a ready arsenal to be able to fight back with. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to surround ourselves with the promises of Scripture. We let ourselves speak to our own hearts, just like David did. "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God." Verse 15 of chapter 4, "When our enemies heard that we knew their scheme and that God had frustrated it, every one of us returned to his own work on the wall. From that day on, half my men did the work, while the other half held spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers supported all the people of Judah who were rebuilding the wall. The laborers who carried the loads worked with one hand and held a weapon in the other. Each of the builders had his sword strapped around his waist while he was building, and a trumpeter was beside me. I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, 'The work is enormous and spread out, and we are separated far from one another along the wall. Whenever you hear the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us.'" You know, church, if there was ever a word for us, it's this one right now. The work is enormous. We are separated, but our God will fight for us. That's the word of the Lord for us today. Verse 21, "So we continued the work while half the men were holding spears from daybreak until the stars came out. At that time, I also said to the people, 'Let everyone and his servant spend the night inside Jerusalem so they can stand guard by night and work by day. I and my brothers, my servants, and the men of the guard with me never took off our clothes. Each carried his weapon even while washing.'" Each carried his weapon. Our weapon today, praise. Our weapon, the word of God. Our weapon, prayer. Our weapon, generosity. And the thing is that we still have trumpet blasts, only our trumpet blasts are the sound of the phone ringing. And what that is the people of God. Even though we're separated, we are still family. And technology is such a blessing. It is such a blessing that as we're going through this in this day and time, that we've got an opportunity to still be able to connect, even though it's virtually, it's still connection. And when the trumpet blasts, "Hey, I'm going through it. I need prayer." Empower Church, we've got an opportunity to be with one another. You know, technology, it's such a blessing, but it's clunky. We did a Zoom call with our team the other day, and you know, there's a bit of delay and there's a bit of drag, but you know, that's okay. It's no more clunky than what it would have been for them carrying a weapon and trying to do washing. Like, that's clunky, you know, trying to use a trowel and carry a weapon. It's clunky. We need to understand that we are in the midst of battle right now. This is not a neutral season that we find ourselves in. We are in a battle, and this is what we need to understand in Power Church, that God is a God who builds, and he is building us. He is building our church family. He is building something out of rubble. You know, Nehemiah's enemies, they were relentless. They were bringing discouragement. They were setting up tricks to try to trap the people of God. They were using deception to try to stop the project. They were doing everything that they could to block what God wanted to do. And it was actually taking a toll on the people. And what we need to understand is that in this season, God is not asking us to be superhuman. He's not. He's not telling us that we're never allowed to be tired or confused or worried. And I love this because we see Nehemiah, if you were to flip over a couple of chapters into chapter 6, we see Nehemiah model something for us that's absolutely profound. What does he do? He prays. Verse 9, but now, my God, strengthen my hands. You know, you can come and you can let God know, you know what, I'm weary. I'm tired. This is my head feels like it's going to explode. I all the information that's coming at me, I don't know how I'm going to be able to take it all in. I can't quite see my way forward. It's okay to be honest before God. God, I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling fearful. I'm feeling disheartened. I don't know if I have it in the tank to see a season through like this. I don't know if I even want to go through the discomfort of the change that it's going to mean for me and my family to learn a new way to do things. I don't know how things are going to work out. But then we need to flip over into our New Testament. And just as Nehemiah is praying for God to strengthen our hands, we see here in 1 Peter 5:7, another key that we can pull into this where it says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Anxiety, what is that? That's anything that's a disruption in the peace of our hearts. It's a brooding fear that we can't shake. And what we need to do when we feel those things is to identify, hey, I'm feeling this and I can't just let it just go on loop in my mind. What I need to do is I need to grab hold of it and I need to cast that thing. That's what scripture tells us to do. We bring it to Jesus to see the power of those feelings, of those emotions, of those thoughts, the swirl that the enemy, the confusion the enemy wants to keep us in, to see it broken, where we can lift off that anxiety. And then what we do is we lift it off, we give it to Jesus, and then we flip it. And what do I mean by that? When we flip it, it means that instead of just feeling the anxiety, what we're doing is we're stirring in our hearts an expectancy that God is going to move. God is going to move. And we do this through an understanding of where we're at. We're honest about that, but we trust that God can make it better because he cares for us. You know, God, it looks like this. God, my hands are weak. Strengthen me, Lord. God, I'm feeling overwhelmed. And this is where we flip it, but I know that you are faithful. God, I'm fearful of the unknown. I don't know how this is all going to work out. Flip, but I know that you are with me. You make me brave. You make me creative. You give me patience with these kids that are driving me crazy. You make me generous. Even when I'm feeling worried, Lord, I thank you that you're able to take that worry, and as I direct it into generosity, there's a sacrifice that I'm able to step into where I can see you do something profound in my life. Lord, strengthen my hands. Verse 15, the wall was completed in 52 days. And when all of our enemies heard this, all the surrounding nations were intimidated and lost their confidence, for they realized that this task had been accomplished by our God. You know, it's absolutely crazy. It's absolutely crazy to believe that our church would grow when we're in a season of semi-isolation. It is absolutely crazy to believe that our church could gain strength when we're not permitted to gather together. It's absolutely crazy to believe that the spiritual walls of our lives could be fortified, that our faith could be deepened, that our families could be bonded more deeply, that relationships could be nurtured. But I tell you what, Empower Church, that is exactly what's going to happen. You see, the work is extensive. We are separated, but our God is fighting for us. Our God is fighting for us. A friend of mine posted a picture someone took in the States of their Walmart, which is sort of like an equivalent of our Big W, and it was showing almost empty shelves. And what was really interesting about this picture is that the empty shelves wasn't, you know, milk or bread or even toilet paper like we would come to expect. It was an empty shelf that used to be filled with Bibles. You know, right now, there's so much fear in our communities. And in that, we need to see that there is such opportunity because our God, our God is here, and the people that we know in our spheres of influence, our work colleagues, our family members, there are people, many, many of which that we know in our lives that have put their whole hope in things that are temporal. They've put their whole security in things that are completely being shaken right now, and they are scared. And what they're looking for is something that won't be moved. What they're looking for is something that will bring stability to their lives. And I tell you, the only security that we have is Jesus Christ. That is the only way that true security comes. And this is an opportunity where we're going to see people born again. We're seeing people even now asking questions. They're hungry for something because they're rattled and they're seeing that what they have put hope in isn't working out. And this is when God's going to come in. We are on the brink of revival, church. We are. And it's crazy. It is crazy to think that our church is going to grow in this season, but it will. It will. Philippians 4, 12, 13 says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. You see, God is a God who builds, and he is a God who gives strength. And that's what he's giving to his people. That is what he's giving to his people. I want you to read that verse in Nehemiah again, that all the nations, that they realized that this task had been accomplished by our God. When we emerge from this season, church, and we will, we're going to be bigger. We're going to be bigger in our own lives. We're going to have walked through a trial. And when we walk through trials, there's a deepening of our faith that takes place like nothing else can. We're going to be bigger. Our church is going to be stronger. And we're going to be able to attribute it to one thing. We serve a God who builds. We serve a God who builds. And this task was accomplished only through his great faithfulness. Would you pray with me, church? Father, I thank you. I thank you that we are not walking alone and that you are here right now bringing reassurance to your people. I pray for every family connected to Empower Church. I thank you, Father, that the atmosphere of those homes right now are shifting. What may have been something that was fear and anxiety, Father, that thing is broken now. And instead, we see faith being restored. We see joy being restored. We see peace being restored to every single home, every single heart right now. Father, I thank you that you are with us. You are with us. And yes, the work is extensive. And right now we're separated. We're not able to gather together the way that we normally would. But I thank you, Father, that you are still a God who is fighting for us. And I pray that that truth would so take root in our heart today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thanks for joining us. For more information about who we are, you can connect with us on Facebook. Or if you're in the area and interested in joining us for one of our worship services, we would love to welcome you. 10 a.m. Sundays at Cronulla Central.